Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, August 16th. Welcome to the show, everyone. I just wanted to remind you guys that the call-in number for tonight's show is 914-803-4399. So if you have a comment or a question, please call 914-803-4399. You can also join us on our tweet chat tonight by following the conversation by using the hashtags Pound Beauty Lounge and or Pound Beauty Talk. And I'm going to turn it over to my sister Denise.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Beauty Talk. Just a couple of quick announcements. Hannah Daniels of CBS News reports that there are some safety concerns about eyelash extensions. Eyelash extensions are a popular beauty trend, but they can come with some serious health risks, such as irritation and scarring of the cornea, as well as bacteria infections. Some tips on protecting yourself would be to make sure that whoever's applying the lashes use an adhesive that is formaldehyde-free. Make sure you cleanse your eye area really well every day. And also something I want to add is just making sure that the lash technician sanitizes her implements. A lot of times you can go to people and they go from one client to the next. You know, once your appointment is over, the next client is passing you by as they're coming in, or vice versa. As you're coming in, you know, the last client is just leaving. So they don't really have a chance to really clean anything. Sometimes you're laying on the same bed as the last person, you know, nothing's changed on the bed or anything like that. So I would just make sure that you're going to somebody who's like changing sheets or having disposable sheets on the bed. Somebody who's, you know, you make sure you check out their setup and make sure they have quite a few tools to use, that they're not sharing the same tools that they just used on their last client. And if I could quickly add, also make sure your lash technician is licensed. And let me just be clear about what I mean about a license. About 5 years ago when I took the training, you had to be a licensed individual to even take the class. The class only certifies you. It gives you a certificate saying that you completed the class, you're certified, you're now able to apply lash extensions. But before you can even get the certification, you have to be licensed. You have to be a licensed cosmetologist, a licensed esthetician, you know, a licensed nail tech. You have to have a profession like beauty or medical profession that where you have a license. And I guess the key to that is because they will, those crafts will go over sanitation, and that's the key to it all. Exactly. I mean, I've never had really any major issues with lash extensions, except just, you know, maybe a little irritation from the glues, some of the glues being very strong. So I prefer a formaldehyde-free glue. And there are some companies out there who do have them. So, you know, you can ask your technician if they wouldn't mind purchasing those. A lot of times they don't like them because they don't, you know, they don't dry as quickly. Your lashes won't dry as quickly, the glue. So they like the glue that, you know, as soon as you put it on there, it practically sucks the lash into the natural lash. So I just like to be safe. And I have had problems with irritation quite a few times. So, you know, I finally got that straight. I finally got that right. I know what kind of glue I can use and what kind of glue I can't, but just be very, very careful with them. I mean, they're gorgeous, but you just have to be very careful with them because they can cause irritation. And one last thing, the Southeastern Beauty event, well, the Southeastern Beauty event of the year actually is the Premier Birmingham. It takes place on October 25th through 26th at the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex in Birmingham, Alabama. And for more information, you can go to their website at premierbirminghamshow.biz, or you can call for information at 800-335-7469. And if you're out, again, on Twitter, you can join us in our tweet chat using the hashtag Beauty Lounge. And for those of you who are on BBM, you can join me in a conversation on the Beauty Talk BBM group. All right. Well, I'm going to let our guest introduce herself. But our guest tonight is makeup artist Saisha Beecham, and we're going to bring her in right now. Welcome to the show, Saisha.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us.
I think the last time we saw you is we were all in a storm, a rainstorm on the set of
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot about that.
I remember that. That was crazy.
that was something that night. It was shut the whole production down, but it was kind of fun because it gave everyone a chance to just talk to one another. So
It really did.
Yeah. So how have you been?
I've been doing really great. I moved to LA about 8 months ago, and mm-hmm. that's been going really well for me. So, you know, I'm kind of crossing over to the more Hollywood actor side of things.
Right. Well, let's just go back and start from the beginning. Why don't you introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell them a little bit about how you got started as a makeup artist.
Okay. My name is Saisha Beecham, and I've been doing makeup for about 11 years now. The way I got started is actually a really funny story that I like telling. But I started out in front of the camera. A really good friend of mine, she owned a modeling agency at the City Models, and, you know, I was working with her and actually, you know, performing as one of the models, aspiring actresses or whatever. And long story short, I was in LA trying to be an actress, and I landed on a fluke a big meeting with a huge manager, Vincent Sorrentino, who is known for getting like black actresses to an A-list status. He represents Halle Berry and Taraji P. Henson. Anyway, we got a meeting with him, me and some other girls from the agency, and he basically told my agent that he wanted to work with me. He felt like he should. And I told him, I was like, hey, you know, I was probably about 23, 24 at the time. And I was like, I was going back to Atlanta in a couple of days. I'm running out of money. He was like, oh, come back, you know, 6 months to a year, whatever. He was like, I know I can help you. You just come back. I was like, cool. So I was just kind of hustling in Atlanta, trying to make extra money on the side to get back to LA. And I started doing makeup. And I was like, wow, you know, when I was an aspiring actress, I was like broke all the time. And now I'm actually making money and I like doing this. I was like, maybe this is my true calling. So I was able to let go of that first dream to like truly find what, you know, God really wanted me to do.
Oh, my God. Would have never known that that was how you started.
Right. It's crazy.
Oh, my
right?
goodness. That was a great
wow.
Thing.
Right.
And you never went back 6 to 8 months later.
I never went back, but now that I'm a celebrity makeup artist, I actually got the opportunity to work with Taraji P. Henson. I've actually worked with her several times now, but the first time, you know, obviously he stopped by the shoot and he came up to me. He was like, oh, you did really great work on Taraji. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so happy you just talked to me because I have to tell you the story. So I told him the story, and he was like, I remember you. He was like, what happened? I told you to come back 6 months to a year. What happened? You never came back. And I was like, just the fact that he remembered me, I was just like, okay, that was amazing. It just made my day. So it never – What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, and isn't Taraji great?
She is so amazing. I absolutely love going through
and
do her
funny
makeup every time. And she's hilarious. Oh my god,
she's hilarious.
It's a comedy session when I'm doing her makeup. Like we have to schedule like extra time because we're always playing around. Like it's really fun.
Do you remember when the video was going around about with Sweet Brown? Was that her name?
Sweet Brown.
Okay.
Yes.
We were working on, just tell this quick story, but we were working on No Good Deed with Taraji and Idris Elba. And I think the producer, Will Packer, showed Taraji the video of Sweet Brown. And so, of course, Taraji would, you know, all of the hair and makeup people, she had her own hair person there. But then, it was, you know, we did the makeup, and then it was one other, I think, one or two other hair people, a barber and another hair person. And so we would all huddle up together all the time and sit with each other all the time. And so whenever Taraji, you know, finished the scene or it was a break from shooting or whatever, she'd always come over to us and, you know, talking, joking, laughing and all that kind of stuff. So she would entertain us because on this particular movie set, most of the days were actually night work. So we shot a lot of overnight stuff. So she would entertain us and keep us awake by doing Sweet Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we probably heard that whole thing and saw that darn YouTube video like 100 times. But we would watch it and watch it, and she would do Sweet Brown all the time, and we would laugh and laugh every time as if it were the first time.
Right.
And she did Sweet Brown so well.
She is the life of the party, that is for sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, I'm a sweet person.
Absolutely. So, you're originally from Atlanta, is that correct?
No, actually, I'm originally from Kansas City. I'm originally from Kansas City, Missouri. I moved to Atlanta in 1999. I was there for 15 years before I moved to LA.
Okay, so what brought you to Atlanta?
Well, my mom's a hairstylist and my stepfather. And we would come to Atlanta every year for the Bronner Brothers show. And I remember being about 16 years old, and I was like, you know what? Because we had been coming since I was like 10 or 12 or something like that. But when I was 16, I remember saying, this is where I want to live. So, you know, I actually didn't go to college right out of high school because I ended up getting pregnant when I was 16. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really feel ready because I knew I wanted to go to school in Atlanta or whatever. And so what I did is I took a little break. I started working. And then when I think I was about 22, I moved to Atlanta and enrolled myself into Morris Brown College so that I could be an Atlanta resident, basically.
Oh, right.
And I never looked back.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've been a makeup artist for 11 years now. What excited you about it when you first started?
Well, my background is art. So I'm a painter, I draw, and I always knew that I wanted to utilize that talent, but I never really knew how I could do it because I was like, oh, I don't want to be a painter and, you know, sell art in the studio, that just isn't me, you know, like I would get bored with that, you know. So I was like, but I knew I wanted to utilize the talent. So when I just kind of discovered, you know, that I could actually do this and I was actually good at it and I was getting booked, you know, and my phone was ringing. I was like, wow, you know, maybe I really like this. I really enjoy it. It's kind of like a artistic release, like especially when I do like the painting and the special effects or whatever. Sometimes I just feel like I zone out, and like when I'm done, I'm like, how did I do that? Like, if I'm almost scared for people to ask me to do it again. Like, I know I absolutely can. It's just at that moment, it's just like, wow, like I don't have any idea how I did this. Like, I just kind of zone out, and it's just really great.
And speaking of your body painting, you do some amazing work. There was one, I remember looking at your Instagram recently, and I saw the pic with the one that you did with Melissa Ford.
Yes.
Her alter ego shoot with Derek Blanks.
Yep. She sure did.
Oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. This is crazy. It was almost like you incorporated your special effects with the body painting.
Right. I definitely did.
On that tough skin portion of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Yeah, I was just, I kind of like was inspired by like, you know, crocodiles and alligators and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And it was funny because when I first finished the paint, it was kind of like, you know, kind of looked more like a crocodile. Like it was kind of dull and, you know, whatever. But I had just done an alter ego with Fantasia probably a month before. And after I finished the paint, I asked Derek Blanks. I was like, you know, I really think I should, you know, put oil all over the paint, you know, to make it shiny. And he was like, everybody was like, oh, I don't think that's going to look right. And I was like, well, let's at least try it on the last shot. So I poured the oil all over on the last shot, and the shot just came out amazing. And so when we did the Melissa Ford shoot, Derek was like, let's do oil. Like, this must be a crocodile. Crocodiles aren't oily. And he was like, let's just do it. And so that's how she ended up shiny. So I just kind of feel like it looks kind of like a dinosaur, just something just like with
fun. Right. Speaking of Derek Blanks, how did you all meet, and how did you start being like his, because it seems to me like when I first heard Derek's name, it seems like he would use one makeup artist and just stick with that person.
Right.
For like all of his shoots.
Right. You know, Derek is definitely a very loyal person. Mm-hmm. I think when he's one of the type of people that if he finds something that's working for him, he just kind of sticks with it.
Right.
And he stays loyal to you as long as you stay loyal to him. And, you know, and it doesn't mean that he's not going to be, it doesn't mean that every time he uses a new makeup artist or a new, you know, wardrobe stylist or whatever, that
right.
the person was disloyal. It just may be that, you know, every time your time just has to eventually pass and you go on to the next level of your career.
Right, right. Exactly.
But I actually met Derek Blanks. This is a funny story. Once again, going back to Ethnicity Models, LaShawna Stanley, she actually got me started doing a lot of the stuff that I'm doing in my career. And Derek Blanks had approached us about being one of our models. I don't know if you guys know mm-hmm. this, but Derek, he used to be an actor and a model, and he's got like a cartoon made of himself.
Oh really my funny. God. Now you're telling Derek, me some more stuff I didn't
even
know.
Yeah. He's probably going to be so mad at me for saying that, but yeah. So he started out as an ethnicity model. We weren't really big with male models back then. Mm-hmm. And so we couldn't really get him that much work, but I used to body paint him with Yolanda Frederick because Yolanda Frederick yes. was actually my mentor, and I used to assist her on the body painting, and, you know, she would do her living art shows, and Derek would always be one of our models. Like, pretty much every show, he was one of her models. So, and that's actually who inspired me to start doing body painting.
Oh, you wow. When I looked at your Instagram page and I saw your body painting work, I automatically thought about Yolanda Fredericks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't really seen a lot of her work. I know, like, years ago, that was her thing. She was big into body painting.
Right.
And so that it just made me think of her. Yeah.
Yeah, she was so amazing. Her background is also painting and drawing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she's really, really great at it. And I was definitely inspired, and it was just something that just seemed so fun. I'm like, wow, you could get paid to just paint all day? This is amazing.
So if you worked with Yolanda, then I'm sure you did a lot of, like, music videos and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I started out in, like, the swimsuit magazines, like the Black Men's Magazine, King Magazine, mm-hmm. Move Magazine. Started out there because a lot of the ethnicity models were shooting that at the time. And so I had that kind of that link. And then I started doing music videos. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know how many music videos I've done, but it's so many. I can't even count.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
so
during that time in Atlanta, if you were a makeup artist, it's like back then you had to have touched either some type of print work, commercials or music videos?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I was actually working a lot in Miami as well, because back when I was doing music videos on a regular basis, they were shooting in Miami all the time. So if I wasn't mm-hmm. doing a music video in Atlanta, I was going to Miami and doing one. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was probably more of the R&B stuff as opposed to the hip-hop?
No, it was both. It was definitely
or both.
Hip-hop,
okay.
R&B, yeah.
Because I know Atlanta did a lot of hip-hop stuff, too, here in Atlanta. I know they did.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
What inspires you as a makeup artist?
What inspires me as a makeup artist? You know what? I'm just really inspired by everything. I'm inspired by, you know, a woman who, just a regular everyday woman who, you know, trusts me with her face to make mm-hmm. her beautiful, you know, and I love the reaction that I get sometimes of a woman looking at herself in the mirror, and you could just see her whole personality change, like her confidence. Because she's like,
right.
The thing is, what I like to do when I'm doing makeup is I don't like to overdo your makeup and pile a ton of foundation, concealer, and highlighter and contour on you to give mm-hmm. you a new face. You know, I don't want to paint a new face on you. What I want to do is enhance the features that you already have, because everybody has beautiful features in their own way. And sometimes a little bit of makeup just helps to bring them out. You know, maybe you didn't really notice them. And so I'm inspired by things like that. I'm inspired by, you know, art, obviously. I'm inspired by amazing makeup artists. There's so many, you know, and you can learn something from everybody and everything.
Right.
And vice versa. So, you know, I don't think there's one specific thing that inspires me, but.
Yeah. Now, speaking about, you said you don't like to pile like a bunch of, you know, makeup and highlighting, contouring, all that. If I'm not mistaken, I thought I saw on your Instagram page like a while ago, it may have been like last year or so, I think you posted, I don't know if you posted like a magazine cover or something like that and said something to the effect of, this is what your makeup should look like.
Right. I think that I reposted something that somebody made. Yeah, it was
maybe.
Nia Long. Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't create that, but... somebody did make it, and I was flattered that they used my photo as the example. But in that particular photo, there was a girl or a guy, I don't remember, but it was like a lot of makeup, and it was really, really beautiful. It was just so much. Like, you couldn't really see who she was. Like, you know, like, if it was somebody you went to high school with, you would not be able to recognize the person. So I guess they were just saying, like, even though that's beautiful, if you're, you know, trying to do magazine covers for major magazines or whatever, this is the look that they're doing, which, honestly, I never get to do the fun stuff, like, rarely. Like, if you have, like, you know, a musician or something like that, you know, sometimes you can kind of be creative and, you know, go outside of the box. But a lot of times, every look, like, if you have a client that's going to go on a daytime talk show, you're not going to be usually like just piling a gang of makeup on her face. Usually you just kind of want it to be a soft, clean look. And most actresses, I've never had one actress that would even allow me to put a bunch of makeup on her skin. Like, most actresses like to be really clean and soft and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times I never even really get to do the wild and crazy makeup. I definitely can, but I never really get to. So I thought it was a good point, so I decided to repost it.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because with actresses, especially working in film and television, even on film and television shows, unless you're creating something different with the character, more than likely that makeup is going to be very natural, very clean.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, unless it just calls for something else or something more, especially nowadays with HD, you got to keep it as clean as possible, because whatever's on that face is going to show up on that screen. So that brings me to this question. What do you think about a lot of the makeup that you may see on social media, and not putting down social media or anything like that, but it is the age that we live in. People do post their work all the time on social media. What do you think about some of the work that you're seeing now?
You know what? I think it's exciting to watch. Like, there's some amazing people. Like, I saw somebody showed me something a couple of days ago where a girl had, you know, pink, orange, blue, yellow all over her face, and then she blended it out, and, you know, it actually blended, and I was just like, wow, like, that was kind of a miracle. So, you know, I think it's really entertaining and sometimes inspiring to see some of the looks and things and the creativity that people have. Like, makeup is so big right now. I'm not going to say, it's definitely not oversaturated, because I feel like there's always room for somebody to work, but it's super saturated right now. And I enjoy looking at, you know, scrolling through Instagram and looking at some of the shots. Now, some of them, you know, they're not necessarily my style of makeup,
right?
But I think it's all beautiful. I think that, you know, these artists have their blending techniques are like almost natural.
Amazing.
So it's just like, hey, you know, it may not be my style, but if it works for you, I think it's beautiful.
Right. Now, what do you think about the Atlanta brow? Because, you know, they say we have a brow.
Is that an Atlanta brow? Oh, my God. Right. Now, this is the thing. I don't like to be the person to, you know, just, you know, act like, oh, my work is just what is
right.
Bond or whatever. But the thing is, when you're doing that eyebrow with the concealer all the way around it, what you don't understand what you're doing is you're aging that person.
Yeah.
Anytime you have sharp lines on the face, like super perfect sharp eyebrows, you know, super hard, sharp lines on the contour, you're aging that person. And most women want to feel younger. I've never had anybody sit
right
here and say, can you make me look older, except the time I did Chaka Khan and had to turn her into old lady. Like, that's one,
right,
you know, like, that's like one time in a million or whatever. But,
right,
you know, that's probably the only time in my career somebody has sat in my chair and wanted me to make them look, a woman wanted me to make her look old. And so it's like, what you have to do is keep all your lines soft. And like, I never like try to make anybody's eyebrows too perfect, because like, it looks, I like you to look like you just woke up beautiful and threw on a little bit of blush and a little bit of whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't want you to look like, ooh, she did your makeup so good, now you're pretty. You know what I
mean?
Like, that's not right. my style. You know, so, so that's basically why I think that that's just not a good idea. And then, you know, whenever you can see your highlight and contour, to me, it almost, for me, is not a complete canvas. Like, it's not finished. Like, everything should be blended well. Like, if you're going to do the highlight and contour, that's fine. But everything needs to be blended into each other. You shouldn't be, it's not flattering to have an over-contrasting look. So, like, when I'm talking to my assistants, because with my assistants, I usually really try to help them, teach them. They get to watch me while I'm doing makeup. I want them to learn, because I don't want them to always be an assistant, because I was an assistant before and I was mistreated sometimes as an assistant. And I just told myself I never want people to work for me to feel like that or whatever. So I just make sure, you know, that I, you know, share the information. And one thing that I always will say, well, I started saying recently, is take a picture of yourself on your phone, and then go to your settings and click on like your retouching settings or whatever, your editing settings, and then click on contrast, and then turn the contrast out really, really high, and look at how your face looks. Like, is that attractive? Is that beautiful? Like, when the contrast is so high with the makeup, with the highlight and the contour, is like this really dark contour and this super white highlight, it's gonna harm you. Not beautiful. It's not soft. It's not beautiful. And so, and I think that usually makes them get it. They're like, oh,
right.
Because I think a lot of times, because Instagram has so many, you know, makeup artists giving makeup tips, they're actually, not all of them are trained, or not all of them have the experience you know, of actually working in the business, and they're sometimes teaching habits that aren't necessarily the best.
Right.
And what's happening is, you know, these women, I feel like everybody just looks older and just kind of, you know, overdone. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I just want to see that youthful, beautiful woman. I just want her to come back, like, you know.
Right. I think, to me, I feel like when I look at some of these things, I feel like there are just a lot of copycat makeup artists. Like, everybody's, you know, contouring and highlighting is the big thing now. So, you know, even the brands have caught on and developed what they call, you know, these different contouring kits, which really you don't even need any of that to contour. Right. I just feel like people are going out and they're doing the, what I call the paint by number, highlighting and contouring, you know, and just doesn't matter, you know, anybody's facial shape doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, nobody's like looking at a face and deciding where the contour or highlight should be. They're just, you know, straight down the T-zone and under the eye. And you know what I mean? It's the paint by number thing.
I agree with that 100%. And that was actually part of the point that I was trying to make, was basically, like, you have these artists that are teaching, but they're not explaining why.
Why, exactly.
And, like, when I teach my classes and when I talk to my assistants, I like them to understand why they're doing the makeup. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll show them a photo of a plastic surgery session that's about to happen where the face is all marked up. And when you're doing the makeup, there's a reason why you're doing it. You're not just putting a crease in the eye because, you know, you're not cutting the crease with, you know, a darker shadow just because, you know, that's just what's in on Instagram. The reason is because there's some women who have hooded eyelids that, you know, there's some women like Janelle Monáe or Iman who have, like, the sunken in, you know, crease in there, like a natural crease. And a lot of times when a woman goes to get plastic surgery, when she, you know, if she ages or whatever, they usually will take that and cut that fat out of there to give you that hollowness. So if you have a person who already has that hollowness, you don't need to blacken that area because it's anything dark goes back. Anything light comes out. So if you're putting that in there and it's already hollow, you're just making that person look harder and more unlike themselves. And so it's like you have to understand why you're doing it. The reason why is if you have a person who has like a hooded lid, you're making that area dark so that it jumps back and appears to be hollow. And it's just like if you just see it on Instagram, you're just going through the motions, 1, 2, 3, and not understanding why. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's not always working for every person that you do. You can't do the exact same thing on every single person. And it's just like when you're contouring the nose, like, you know, I'll show them, like, if you're getting plastic surgery, they're pinching those corners of the nose. You pull that in. You know, they pull that in when they're doing surgery. And so the whole purpose is to make the nose look smaller. It's not just to put stripes on the sides of the nose. It needs to be blended. It needs to be for a reason. If a person already has a teensy, weensy, skinny nose, there's no reason to over-contour her nose. And the thing is, what people don't realize, like, a lot of times when I'm doing makeup on maybe a Caucasian model or actress, I don't usually even contour the nose if it's, because a lot of times it's not necessary. A lot of Caucasian women are European, and a lot of European bone structure is very chiseled and sharp. So if they take a photo, the bridge of their nose is so sharp, the contour is automatically there. What happens with most African American or Black people is our bridges a lot of times will, unless you have a lot of European in your blood, our bridges will a lot of times photograph flat. And so that was where you had to contour to get that same kind of chiseled look. And it's like people are not understanding why they're doing the makeup. They're just, like you said, going through 1, 2, 3, the motions.
Yeah.
There's actually a reason. So you don't have to do it on every single person. Look at your canvas and see what it needs.
Right. And I think sometimes if we just get back to the basics, then I think we will start taking a look at some of those things again. And just, I mean, it's fine to post on Instagram. It's fine to do what you see somebody do on Instagram. But if you really want to get the best look on your model or actress or whoever you're doing, I think we just need to go back to the basics and really start taking a look at the faces that we're doing and approach it from a corrective point of view.
Exactly.
Now, Saisha, what do you think makes a great makeup artist?
So, this is what I always say. And I actually, when I was in Atlanta, when I first moved to Atlanta, I was attending World Changers with Pastor Creflo Dollar. And one day I was in church and he said, in order to be the best, you have to first start out with the research. The research gives you the knowledge. The knowledge gives you the confidence. And the confidence makes you the best. Because when you research something, you're gaining the knowledge, you're learning about it. And when you have the knowledge of what you're doing, you're confident about it. And when you have the confidence, you can walk in a room and do what you got to do, you're always going to be the best. So I feel like if you apply those four principles, anybody could be the best and conquer what they're doing. But you just have to make sure you're doing your research. You're not just going through the motions, one, two, three. You're understanding why you're doing it.
That was good. I'm going to get you to repeat that because I'm going to post that. So repeat that for me.
Okay. So you start out with the research. The research
But before he said, if you want to be the best.
Oh, just you want me to start from the beginning? Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he basically said, if you want to be the best at something, you have to first start out with the research.
Mm-hmm.
The research is going to give you the knowledge. The knowledge is going to give you the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And the confidence is what's going to make you the best.
Nice.
And I say that in all my makeup classes. I say that to my assistants all the time. I tell that to everybody. I love repeating that. I thought it was very powerful. And I actually have that in my heading in my on my Instagram page and maybe on my Twitter. I definitely believe that.
Nice. Let's go back to Derek Blank for a second.
Okay.
What was it like doing all those different alter ego photo shoots? Because I'm sure you did it. You practically did all of them, didn't you?
No. Tony Acey actually started out doing a lot of them.
She started doing them, got you. Okay.
Yeah. And they did a lot of great ones together. And when she started, working and doing other things, I kind of came in and filled the void for some of them. And we did a lot of them together too, and they were really great. Like I absolutely love it. Like because I love the creativity, I love that I can think outside the box. I love that I can pretty much. He trusts me to do whatever I want.
What was one of your favorites?
Oh man, I hate asking that because honestly, every time I do a new one, it's just like, oh my god, no, is this my favorite?
Okay, well, what a couple of ones you really enjoyed?
Okay, I really, really, truly enjoyed the Laz Alonso, the Buddha statue. I just, our hands got to get really gooey and nasty, and like I just love stuff like that. And it was just really cool.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I actually just recently posted that on my Instagram, so you got to
on Instagram. Okay, I'll take a look at that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool. And I'll never forget, like, in the middle of it, he was, like, looking at himself in the mirror as we were doing it. He was sitting in front of a mirror as we were doing it. And he was like, yo, Saisha, he was like, I'm a fan. He was like, this is so dope. And I was like, oh, thank you. It was really cool. But I remember I had that same feeling, like, after it was over, like, how in the heck did I do that? And I had a really great team. Jai, I think, what's her name? Oh, my God. Is it Ty Young? That's her name. Sorry, Ty.
Oh, okay,
she helped me with that shoot. And Google, the sisters, the Mary sisters, whatever, their sister Google. Yeah, Google, she actually did the wardrobe. And it wasn't really much wardrobe. It was just she brought like a drape or whatever. And I gave her the paints and I told her, I kind of showed her a little example on like a corner and showed her what I needed. And she absolutely came through, and it actually matched the exact paint that we were doing on his body. And the team was just so great together, and they all came together really great, nicely.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really fun. Oh, so I love that one. I still love the Fantasia one to this day. I wish the angle that Derek actually, shot it, you couldn't see the front of, how I made the white fur in the center. That was really my favorite part. And then, on her butt, the way I... a tiger or a leopard or whatever, the way the fur is on the bum or whatever. It was just really cool. And nobody really got to see that, but it was so much fun, and I absolutely loved that. And she was such a good sport, and she, we just had a really good time. So I really enjoyed that one. I enjoyed the Melissa Ford, because, again, we got to get our hands really dirty. And she trusted me to just be really, really creative. But I honestly love all of them. Every last one of them, I just really had a good time. It's hard to say.
Okay, explain this for me, because before I can even get to Laz, I saw Fantasia, so I just wanted to take a quick look really quickly. Now I'm going to read some of what you have here. Have you explain what happened here? Okay, it's Throwback Thursday. So you said, that time I body painted Aptasia's World Fantasia into a leopard. My design, my idea, my work. That's in all caps now. Anyone else taking credit is a liar, sorry to say. I had great help from my assistants. Hate to have to say that. Very flattered, though. Thank you, pound alter ego, pound body paint by Saisha, and so forth and so forth. But I did definitely learn much about body paint from the greatest, and then you shout out at Yolanda Frederick. Okay, right. So what happened there?
But I understand what it is. A lot of times when, I remember being an assistant and, just really being eager and wanting to get my career to the next level and not necessarily want to walk around and tell everybody, yeah, I'm assistant,
Right.
So I get it. And unfortunately, the person that helped me with that, and I would actually prefer not to say her name.
Right.
She, I guess, was going around taking full credit for the art. And that was actually my first body paint solo outside of helping Yolanda Frederick. Mm-hmm. So, I just kind of really wanted to kind of shine and just show people that, hey, I'm, a body painter. And it's just so, mm-hmm. I just asked her nicely, I get it. You don't have to tell people you assisted me, even though she did.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just say, hey, I did that with Saisha Beecham or whatever, mm-hmm. just so that my name, so people don't think that I'm lying or whatever.
Right, right, exactly.
Unfortunately, she didn't see it that way. I hate to even talk about it. Because I made it public, I guess, I have to. But I just wanted to make sure. she basically felt like it was a team effort, but it can't be a team effort unless you were in the planning with it and, unless you were able to work on your own without me, having to tell you how to do it and blah, blah, blah. So, I have a lot of great assistants that I've worked with. And unfortunately, every now and then you get the ones who, either want to take advantage or, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. whatever. They start thinking they're too big and they want to, whatever. They want to be in your spot before they're actually ready or whatever. You can get every blue moon. Everybody's going to get
right.
But I try to give everybody a new chance and, I try not to punish everybody else for something that somebody else did.
Right.
I appreciate you, responding and saying what happened, because I think it's a great lesson for those who assist to learn, what not to do, how far you can go. So I appreciate you even just sharing that much.
And honestly,
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, honestly, everybody who works with me knows that I'm not like one of those people who's like every 5 seconds, why you do this? Why you do that? I'm pretty easygoing. But there's a time or two that, I have to maybe say something, and I know it's just because you may not know. So I'm just going to tell you, because I'm not going to punish you for not knowing, you know, for just being ignorant to, you know, the industry, what they call set etiquette or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to, you know, tell you once, but if I see a pattern of it continuing, then I just kind of back off or whatever. So,
right.
Like all of my assistants know that I'm not petty. I do not trip off of stuff like that. You do not have to always say that you assisted me, but just
right.
don't totally boot me out of the picture and make it look like I got fired. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So that's
well, you
all
know,
I
think this is a perfect place for me to plug this book by the makeup artist, Deshawn Hatcher. Her book on assisting, well, her book called Assisting Rules, The Ultimate Guide to Assisting Makeup Artists and Hairstylists in Beauty, Fashion, and Print. For those of you who don't have that book and would like that book, you can email Deshawn at deshawnlovesmakeup@gmail.com. I'm giving you her email because I can't remember the website for it. But if you Google it, you will find it. And it talks about this very thing, etiquette on set and how to list yourself when you've worked, assisted somebody on a job, how you should list yourself, because that is so important. I think when you work so hard on a project as the lead makeup person and somebody's assisting you, the last thing you want is for somebody else to make it look like they did the job and they did it by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your work.
Yeah, after the person helped you, you know, that's it's
right.
almost like a slap in the face, you know. It's
it
like,
is.
I don't need you to praise me or give me anything for, you know, giving you a chance or helping you
mm-hmm.
out with something, but for you to just kind of, you know, I guess sometimes it just is, could be offensive, like, oh, wow, like I helped you, you get the opportunity, and you just
right.
out the picture. You know what? I don't even want to take the conversation on a negative note. Like, that honestly does not happen as often, well, to me anyway,
right.
as often as you would think. But, there, you know, just every now and then you do get that.
Right.
And it's good that they have this, you know, Deshawn has that book, because I actually learned the hard way with that. But I knew that it was just me just not knowing, like I had no idea. Like, you kind of sometimes you just kind of throw yourself into the wolves, and you know, you can learn as you go,
right?
So I don't necessarily get offended unless, you know, you could just blatantly or like disregard it if I bring it to your attention, you know.
This Laz Alonso thing. Oh my god.
Do you like it?
This is incredible.
Yeah.
I'm looking like, wait a minute now, where's Laz? I'm like, wait.
Right.
That's incredible.
If you actually go on YouTube, if you go on Derek Blank's YouTube channel, he actually has the behind-the-scenes video of that shoot. And you can actually see me in the process of doing it and just kind of see, you know, how I did it. And it was like an interview. He was being interviewed while I was doing it. So you can kind of see it all
nice.
Come together. It's really cool.
Wow.
Really awesome. Yeah, I like it. It was a lot of fun. Oh, my God.
I'm going to post that link. Yeah, I'll post that
yeah,
link.
So, mm-hmm.
Great, 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 great. So, any plans on ever moving back to Atlanta? Not right now.
You and all my family and friends, you guys can do that. You know what? Not right now. I mean, I've only been in LA for 8 months, and you kind of get used to it here.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
Yeah. You know what? I had like a plan when I moved to Atlanta. I was just like, once I started doing makeup, you know, and you start realizing, oh, you know, I'm not so bad at this. You know, your
mm-hmm.
first thought is, I want to move to Hollywood, and you know, I want to be bigger, you know, whatever. And I had that idea, and then I just kind of sat on it because I was like, you know what, I think it's better for me in a smaller city to kind of build up my name a little bit here and
right.
then go to the big city, because a lot of times, I mean, there's so many makeup artists, if you kind of come in as a small fish, you know, you just kind of get lost
yeah.
in the sea
yeah.
or whatever. So that was my plan, and I think it was definitely the right steps. And I also wanted to, I have a daughter, obviously. I was 16 and pregnant, so I have a grown child. But when she, you know, I kind of wanted to see her off and, like, get her on her feet, you know, once she became a woman or whatever, before I just up and moved and, like, uprooted her whole entire life, you know. So had a lot of reasons to stay for so long. But, yeah, once – and then at my agency, because I'm actually with Clique Remix, I went in the office one day since I've been living here, and one of the agents in the office, she was like, you're one of the only artists I've seen that can move across country and still have work, you know? So I think I definitely did it the right way. So you the struggle with the crossover to a big new city, you know?
Right. Exactly. That's great. So one question that I was interested in hearing your responses. With all of the advancements in technology, do you find that your business, like running your business, is easier or harder now?
And you're
than it was when you first started.
Excuse me, you're referring to the back end of the business, like the, you know, the, like what do you, when you say the
let me say this. Okay. And then let me say, I'm wondering if, because I'm thinking, take your agency out of it, maybe. And so what I'm referring to is, okay, now that we have all these advancements in technology with the smartphones, with the internet, I mean, I know the internet was around when you first started, but, you know, things I'm sure weren't like they are quite now.
Right.
You know,
as advanced.
So,
right.
Yeah, as advanced. So now with all the advancements in technology, do you find that, you know, work is much easier, like getting the jobs, being able to handle your day-to-day when you're on jobs. Is that easier or about the same?
You know what? Now I understand the question better, and I definitely think it is easier because, you know, back in the day, you had to have a portfolio like 8x10 or 9x12 that you had to ship, and then sometimes the client wouldn't ship it back in time, and you're trying to ship it to another client, and it just kind of gets annoying or whatever.
And it's
that's
expensive.
That's where I started. And it's very expensive. It's very expensive. It took me a long time to afford the good portfolio. And now I think if that thing has so much dust on it now, I haven't even looked at it. Maybe when I was moving, I might have flipped through it or something. But like I never need it because now we have websites and we have Instagram and we have all these different things. So it's so much easier to get the work. And everything is so fast-paced now. Nobody wants to sit and wait for the mail to come for a portfolio anyway. Like they want to, you know, I'm getting called for jobs, you know, the night before sometimes. So people just want everything to be quick. So I definitely think that's better.
Right.
And of course, like, you know, taking payments is so much easier because you have your
Square
and all these different things. So then now I can pay my assistants easier. I don't have to, like, what bank do you bank with? I don't make a deposit.
Right.
You call, I'm at the bank. You didn't send me the number, you know.
Right.
Now it's just, you know, all these little apps and just send the money straight to their account. So I definitely think technology has made it easier. Technology has changed the industry so much so, which is actually a good thing because now a lot of makeup artists, it's almost like American Idol. You know, before, somebody in Iowa or Cleveland wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to, you know, be a famous, you know, multi-platinum singer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then American Idol came and it gives these people that, these artists that don't have the opportunities that other people have, like living, being born in California, being born in New York or some big city, it gives them these opportunities to have, you know, to be big and be huge. So I feel like Instagram is giving a lot of new artists that necessarily don't have the connections. Like I started out in front of the camera. So, you know, all the makeup artists that they used to do my makeup for videos, I always kept a really good attitude with everybody. So when I called them, like, hey, I'm a makeup artist now. If you need an assistant, I was embraced, you know. And so that's how I was able to kind of get in. I kind of had my leg already in the door. But, you know, there may be a girl that's in Mississippi that doesn't have that opportunity, and she can use YouTube or Instagram to kind of promote herself and get her a job, you know, with, I mean, celebrities are picking people off of you know, Instagram. So I'm not mad at it at all, but it's definitely something that it kind of makes you feel like, okay, now I got to move. Like I got to change with the change.
Gotcha.
So I don't get left behind, you know?
Right. Exactly.
It was like my daughter was like, Mom, you need Instagram. And she was telling me for the longest. I was like, I don't want another social media. And then I started realizing, okay, I might have to do this if I want to get, you know, left behind. Let me go on and open up the Instagram. So I finally did it.
Right. Now, is there anything that you would like to do in your career that you haven't done already?
There's so much. I have actually a 44-page business plan for a cosmetic line that I've kind of been sitting on. You know how it is, like the lizard brain is getting to me. That's a really good video. You should post that, Quieting the Lizard Brain by Seth Godin on Vimeo. Mm-hmm. It's just a video that talks about, like, you just putting things off. So I definitely have it. I'm about to start moving on it. And I have some inventions that I want to put out there, and some other little things in my career. I just kind of want to take everything to the next level. It's actually, this is pretty new for me, the whole Hollywood thing, because, you know, being in Atlanta, I had mostly musicians, artists, or whatever.
Right.
So I'm actually learning a lot. So this kind of is something new to me, that the terminologies and stuff like that are different. So I'm actually learning a lot about this side of the world that you guys are very familiar with.
Right. So, now, are you doing a lot of red carpet stuff?
Yeah, I'm definitely doing a lot of red carpets out here. I mean, there's like a red carpet every other day.
Right.
So you could always have some type of work. Now, the difference that I'm noticing is, like, I'm used to the music business. So it seems like musicians, they get endorsements more. They always have like a 12-hour day shoot. A lot of times out here, you're doing a do and go for an event, a do and go for a luncheon, a do and go, you know. So it's just a little bit different in that aspect, but you're always going to be able to work. In my opinion, like.
Yep.
So, but yeah.
Nice. Now, let's see, Janice, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, I'm just curious. How's your lovely daughter?
You said how old?
How is she?
Oh, how is she? Oh, yeah, because you met her. Yes, we're in the storm. she's doing really, really great. I'm so proud of her. She moved out on her own. She has her own apartment and everything with a roommate. And she's going to Georgia State. She's been there since her junior year. And she is also working and, you know, just kind of, she's actually doing an apprenticeship with the eyelash extension. And so, like you guys were saying before, you're recertified. So she's actually under a licensed stylist.
Oh, nice.
Or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really, really cool. I'm really proud of her. She's doing her thing. Yeah. Oh, and she doesn't want me to say the other thing that she's working on, so I guess I'll keep it private. But she's working on something really big for her career, and I'm so happy for her, and I'm definitely trying to help her with that. So
that
proud mom,
nice.
For sure. And she was always like a good kid. She never, you know, did anything too bad.
Right.
You know how the teenage girls are. But
right, exactly.
Always great kids.
That's nice.
I almost told her secrets. She would have been so mad at me.
And you know, I'm sitting over here like, darn, I want to know what it is now.
All right. We'll just keep that one on the hush.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Okay. I'm sure we'll hear about it soon enough. Okay, and one last question. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was going to ask.
Oh.
You go ahead.
You had something you were going to ask her?
The question that we always listen.
Oh, okay. What is beauty to you?
What is beauty to me? You know what? I think beauty is just about how you feel. You know, because a lot of times, like, I'm sure a lot of women can relate to this story, but you know how, like, maybe you were in high school or something, and there was a girl that maybe you didn't think was the most beautiful girl in the school, mm-hmm. but she thought she was. She always had, like, the top athlete, you know, because mm-hmm. she thought she was beautiful. She walked around with confidence. Everybody mm-hmm. else thought that she was beautiful as well. So I think it's a lot about how you feel on the inside. Mm-hmm. And then what we do is we just kind of make it a little bit better on the outside, you know, like,
right.
you know, we
right.
kind of enhance it on the outside, but it's definitely mm-hmm. from within.
Yeah. And how you love yourself, you know,
how you love yourself. Absolutely. And, you know, there are a lot of people that don't love themselves. And I think that, you know, maybe I was like that at some point, but I think it comes a point in your life. And I've realized this in my early 30s, that you do have to kind of start doing a little self-evaluation. Like, so mm-hmm. I started doing a lot of reading. Like, I would love to mention a couple of books, if that's okay.
Oh, definitely. And I'll post those.
Hold on, let me grab
a clean sheet of paper. Okay. Okay.
So LaShawna Stanley, once again, she actually put me on to these books, but they really definitely help my life and like me help me to love myself and understand who I am. But one of them that I feel like it's a really easy read is called The Game of Life and How to Play It.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by Florence. Is it Florence?
Oh, yes.
Florence Ovalshin.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That book is a really good book to read to just kind of like start, you know, understanding, you know, different things about your life. And then mm-hmm. she had also given me a book called Secrets of Attraction, The Universal Laws of Love, Sex, and Romance.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's by Sandra Ann Taylor. And I really like that book because it kind of helped me to step outside of myself and see things about myself that I was not aware I was doing. Because the thing is, a lot of times you're doing things, but if a family member or, you know, some type of loved one or even a stranger tells you, you get offended and you, oh, I'm not that way, because that's, you know,
right.
that that's never been your intention. And so a lot of
right.
times, you know, just kind of if you're reading a book and the book tells you this thing about yourself, it's only you and your thoughts. So you can't be offended, like you automatically realize, like, oh, I do that, you know. So I think
mm-hmm.
that a lot of the, you know, finding the beauty within yourself is, you know, just kind of maybe picking up some books or, you know, going to maybe seeing a counselor or whatever you have to do to just kind of get to the root of why you don't love yourself. And I think that once you do, you'll definitely feel beautiful. And once you feel like you're beautiful, everybody else will see it too.
Absolutely. Nice. You're the first person to answer that question with giving us a list of books. I love it.
Well, I definitely hope you guys have me on again. This was so much fun.
Yes, yes, definitely. Whenever you want to come back, you let us know. Absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
That's great. I think I'm sorry, I was going to just say, just shout out your social media account. People can follow you.
Yeah. Okay. So I kind of made everything pretty easy if you
mm-hmm.
can figure out how to spell my name. But my Twitter is at Saisha Beecham. That's spelled S as in Sam, A-I, S as in Sam, H-A, B as in boy, E-E, C-H-A, M as in Mary. And that's also my Instagram at Saisha Beecham, and my Facebook page is Saisha Beecham Makeup Artist. There's actually like a personal page if you pull up my name, but I don't remember the password. I don't use it, and I feel so bad because I get all these alerts saying that people are trying to be my friend, and I just cannot get in there. So ignore that one. It goes to the one it's like a fan page. I merged my personal page and my fan page together. So. I just have the one now.
All right. That sounds good.
Nice, nice, nice.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you taking the time. And I know it's still somewhat early out there, so
We're going to let you go so you can enjoy the rest of your evening. But again, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. It was very inspiring.
Yeah. All right, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in with us tonight. We appreciate it. We appreciate
that was a great show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We appreciate our listeners who tune in every Sunday night live. And also those who don't get a chance to listen live, but they go back and listen. Those who download the show from iTunes or their RSS feed, thank you so much. We do appreciate it. We see the numbers every week, and we're excited about the numbers every week. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. A big hello to Aisha Tiffany, who always tuning in. We have a listener from Texas, and I don't know who it is, but they listen Sunday night. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
And then we have Francis from North Carolina, I believe. Francis is from North Carolina. She joins us every week, and she joins us on Twitter. So we want to thank her as well for always listening in and supporting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And for those who are listening online, again, once again, thank you so much. Like she said, we see the numbers, and each week it's growing, growing, and growing, and we're really excited about the numbers where they are. Oh, my gosh, because this is going on, what, year number
seven?
Seven? Oh, my goodness. We're almost at the end of the seventh year, so we're really excited about this show and, you know, just excited that we can kind of stay committed to doing it as well, so... We're happy about that. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
And just want to remind everyone, we've been talking a few weeks about the Glam Squad Diaries, and it's basically a behind-the-scenes look at what we do. And we started the first series off on with the show that we work on for Season 2 of Survivor's Remorse. Well, Survivor's Remorse Season 2 airs this coming Saturday, August 22nd, at 9 p.m. on the Stars Network. And Monday, wait a minute, did I get those dates right?
Okay, 22nd.
And then Monday the 24th, you'll see the first episode of Glam Squad Diaries. Like this week, we'll probably be showing just pretty much like a sizzle reel.
Trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, just a trailer, sneak peek. But on the 24th will be episode number one. So look out for that. And I guess at the beginning of each show on Sunday nights, we'll just talk a little bit about it, about what you'll expect, you know, what you can expect to see on the video on Monday morning. So,
and then we're also going to try to do a tweet chat or just, you know, you might see us hanging out on Twitter during that time, possibly tweeting with the cast while the show is on.
Right, and we're going to have some prizes to give away. So, you know, even if you don't have Stars in your cable package, look out for our tweet chats. You know, YouTube is free. So, you know, as long as you have the internet, go out there and watch the video. Because, you know, each week on this show, we'll possibly give away something. So just pay attention to whatever you can pay attention to. And just be ready.
So, right. So maybe we'll give away a product that was used
mm-hmm.
on the show.
Or something from product from one of the brands that supported the
yeah,
show.
But it'll be a brand new product, of course. But
of course. So I just wanted to say, you know, we continue to follow us on social media. We are Beauty Talk Online on Facebook. We are Beauty_Talk on Twitter, and we are Beauty_Talk_Media on Instagram. And I'm sorry we couldn't get everything the same on all our social media sites, but
It is what it is. And then you can tell them how to follow us on BBM.
Okay. Well, what I want to do is, because we've had a situation once before where there was someone who, when I gave out the information for the BBM mm-hmm. group, someone used that information, joined the group, and posted a picture that was not appropriate. So I don't want to give out the PIN number. If you are interested in being a part of the BBM group, then please just tweet us at beauty_talk on Twitter, or you can go out to the Facebook page and and just post on the Facebook page that you're interested in joining. If you have a PIN number, you can send us the PIN number there, or we can somehow get your information from you and do it that way and just add you to the group. But I don't want to give out the PIN number. Because once somebody has the PIN number, they can automatically join without having to ask permission.
Gotcha. Okay, so what we're doing is we would like to invite you guys to the group. They're going to be giving us their PIN numbers. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Just leave us a message on one of the social medias, and we will connect with you and get your information.
All right.
So that nobody's information is just sitting out there.
Exactly. Sounds good. Well, thank you guys again for tuning in, and we'll be back again next Sunday night, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell a friend about Beauty Talk. Send us an email or post to our social medias and let us know what you think and if you have any suggestions, and we'll look into it. Thanks a bunch, everybody.
Right.
Thanks so much for your continued support. Have a great night and continue to be beautiful and blessed. Good night.
Good night, everybody.